So welcome, everybody. This is Elaine, and it is Wednesday, October 14th, and it's our PSS group. Today we're going to be talking about taking aim, and it is currently Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, which is noon Pacific Time, and I wanted to sort of kick off today's call by talking about, I want to do some check-in and some celebration and all of that, but, you know, when Diane and I first started Parent Success System almost 5 years ago now, so four years, we're in our fifth year, we drafted this little statement about what makes it a coaching call and what makes this different from other calls. And so I just sort of want to capture the essence of it, because I think not only is it sweet, but I think it's always nice to set the tone at the beginning of a group, and we're starting, you know, this is a new group coming together, and we're going to spend a lot of time with each other in the next year. So to really set the tone or the ground rules, if you will, for how to engage with each other. And so what I want to talk about or just mention, I guess, is that this is a place where we come together to support each other and where no one gets to be wrong. It's what Tammy calls a judgment-free zone, which I love. And it's really about supporting each other with targeting, taking aim, talking through strategies for how to handle all the different kinds of complex issues we're facing by raising complex kids, and remembering that we want to do it in a way that is instructive, constructive, and empowering, so that it's not about, you know, necessarily giving people advice, but it's about offering opportunities, offering opinions, offering thoughts, and sharing what's worked for us. And when we first started, Diane and I said, you know, this is a place where no one can give each other advice and we won't either. And we've learned a lot in the last several years, and we know that sometimes we want advice, right? You want it. You need it. But you will find that we will always offer it to you rather than directing it to you. And that's what we want to invite everybody on these calls to do, is to offer something, someone else, an idea to consider. Because we know that in the world of coaching, when you come to a decision on your own based on your understanding, it's going to have more power for you and more meaning, and it'll be more lasting than if you try to do something just because someone else told you to do it. So this is a space where no one gets to be wrong, and we invite you, rather than to offer, rather than giving advice, to share experiences and, when appropriate, to offer your guidance to your peers. Does that sound good to everyone?
Yep.
Awesome. And we've had a few more people join us. I see, is Tess here? Is that right?
Yes. Hi. Hi. Good afternoon, Elaine and everyone.
How are you?
Fine.
And who's said it? Yeah. So we have Tess, Megan, Audrey, and Tamara on the phone. Okay.
Awesome.
And, so I want to start, because some of us are new and some of us are coming back, rather, usually we start these calls with a check-in, sort of what's been going on since the last couple of weeks when we've been together. But today I want to direct it a little bit differently, and I want to start with a celebration, because it's always nice to start a new experience with some sense of what's working well, what's going well for you. And I want to remind you of the coaching skill of bottom lining, right? So hit the highlights, but don't try not to go into too long a story so that we use our time well as we're here together. So so what's coming up for you? Who wants to celebrate?
I'll start. This is Megan.
Awesome.
This week, we have been working hard for my son to get his homework done a little earlier than he normally does.
Mm-hmm.
And then at night, after his siblings go to bed, he's been making these interesting snacks for us to share. Really enjoying that. And we've been playing some board games.
And he's
been very happy.
So you're really getting some good quality time with him.
Yes.
Brilliant. Lovely. And I just realized, because it's a new group, why don't we just do a little bit of name, rank, and serial number, and I just lost who was talking. Was that Megan?
Yeah.
Okay. sorry. Just like how many kids, what age, that kind of thing.
Okay. My name's Megan. I'm from Milwaukee. I have three kids. My oldest, who has ADHD, is 9, and I've got a 7-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter.
Great. Great. Okay. And you're enjoying quality time, and he's creating snacks. I love that.
Yeah.
Totally adorable. Okay. Who's next? Celebration.
Oh, I'll go.
This is?
That's okay. This is Tamara. I live in California. I know I have a 206 area code, but I now live in California. I have two children. I have a daughter who is 13 with more of an inattentive ADD, and I have a son who is 11 who is ADHD and Tourette syndrome and probably oppositional defiant disorder, well, whether you label it or not. And
right.
Okay, so that's where we are.
And you're experiencing him that way, whether he's diagnosed or not.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, great. And what do you want to celebrate?
I want to celebrate that. I'm going to bottom line it. Homework and specifically turning in homework has been a struggle, and we're working on it, and we haven't been completely successful yet. But this morning, he came in, and when he was getting ready, he said, okay, so I know I'm going to turn in this work to this teacher and this work to this teacher. And it was huge to me because even though I had tried to have him do that yesterday and I got, you know, frustrated when he came home and he hadn't remembered or the teacher didn't ask for it, today he came in and he told me, first thing, this is what I'm going to do, which is
brilliant.
Glorious. It's glorious because it means he's, you know what I mean. We play on now. So
he's owning
so
it. That. He took some ownership.
He sure did.
Brilliant. Great.
So
yay.
Awesome. Yay.
Cool. Okay, who else?
Well,
you
I can
are
go.
Old enough, I do not need to call on you. So.
I'll go before you call on me. This is Audrey.
Okay. Okay.
I have an 8-year-old son, and I have a 4-year-old. The 8-year-old has ADD. The 4-year-old does not.
4-year-old, boy or girl?
Boy, sorry.
Uh-huh.
So I guess the thing we're celebrating, last night my son at dinner time said that he was worried about school tomorrow, and after kind of teasing that out a little bit, he's worried about doing math at the end of the day when, like, medication is worn off, and right now they're just copying stuff that the teacher is writing, so it's really boring for him, and he felt himself getting really frustrated today, and he basically was saying, like, I'm worried I'm going to have an explosion tomorrow in class. And I just thought, I mean, I was amazed that he was able to, like, recognize that and bring it up beforehand instead of getting the call from the school that he was in the principal's office.
Right.
So I just thought that was huge that he was able to bring that up. And so we, you know, worked out, you know, there's kind of, I think, a longer-term issue of maybe trying to settle some things with the teacher. But, you know, the short-term issue, I ended up making him a little, like, encouragement card that he could read while he was doing his math homework or the you know, while he was copying it off the board, he could just – like, blow off his frustration by reading, like, some encouraging note that I wrote on this card, you know, so.
Ah, that's
cool.
Brilliant. That's just brilliant. And so here's what I'd like to celebrate. I want to celebrate that you get what a celebration that was.
Yeah.
Because it really is huge, and a lot of parents wouldn't get that his awareness of it and his self-advocacy around it is going to set the stage for so much for success for you. It's just going to truly going to be helpful.
Yeah.
So way to go. And nice job with the acknowledgement card. I like that.
You get lucky sometimes, you know.
It's true. true. It's true. Sometimes we have moments of inspiration. And I will tell you guys, I know that acknowledgement seems like a big word for a lot of kids, but I use acknowledgement a lot. My kids get it. And I also use it when I'm trying to give them a direction. You know, I'll sort of say something and I'll say, can you just acknowledge that you've heard that? So it's another way that I use it. And so now the shorthand is acknowledge, got it, Mom. You know, but it doesn't have a lot of, it doesn't have a lot of baggage around it. So way to go. All right, did I miss anybody or is that everybody? I feel like I missed somebody. Tess?
Yes, hi, this is Tess. And I apologize, this is my first time on one of these calls. And this isn't, I guess, my regular group, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make any other this week. But
I'm glad you're here. Good
yeah,
for you.
Me too. And I'm very new, and I think just, you know, in general, my celebration is that I'm realizing that this program, this parent success system, is something that I really need. I acknowledge that, yeah, I cannot do it alone and that I do need help. And I've been going online. I'm at the website and I've been listening in on some of the webcasts and then, you know, going into one of the books you recommended, The Homework Without, I forget the exact title, but Without Freaking Out. And I'm learning to just, by Neil McNerney or something. And I'm learning to just remain calm and, you know, realize that, or it's just, I don't know, I think just in general for me to just take a pause so that I don't overreact and get into an emotional conflict or fight or negative thoughts with both of my sons. And I've got two boys, a 15 and a half year old sophomore in high school. So my kids are a little older, sophomore in high school, and I do have a 12 and a half year old. Seventh grader, and neither one has been diagnosed with ADD, but the main problem is I've got ADD, and so just trying to manage myself, I think, is the hardest part and probably the first priority, but I really feel that whether or not kids have ADD, I believe that we've got the tools that I can implement to help my own kids.
Brilliant. Awesome. Thank you. So your biggest celebration is that you're here.
Yes, really.
Awesome. Congratulations, I love it.
I made it a priority.
Okay. You made it a priority, and sometimes that takes a little time to do, and I think it's, you know, as you all know, it's really, as parents, we feel like we should be able to do stuff that we may not necessarily be able to do without support, and it's great. I just want to acknowledge all of you for making that commitment and being here. I know those of you who've been here before will attest to the fact that it really does make a difference. It really for everyone. So I'm thrilled you're here. We want to start by taking aim, and then I'm going to do a little bit of conversation about the topic today, which is taking aim, so it'll dovetail quite nicely. And then after that, we will either have a little conversation about it and or I'll do a little laser coaching. We'll sort of see what comes up as we get into the conversation. So as we take aim on the topic, if you think it's something you'd like a little laser coaching on today, be ready to volunteer if we need volunteers, okay?
Okay.
So let's start by taking aim, which means what do you want to tackle? What's the change you want to see? And, you know, you've all heard us say before that you can do it all, but you can't do it all at the same time. And so what we really want to do, and this program really offers you an opportunity, is twice a month to just take aim on one thing. To really get very specific about one change you want to see. And as you'll notice, a lot of change comes from there. But you got to start somewhere. And so we want you to start more specifically than usual, because when you try to take aim on homework, it's hard to make that happen. But if you take aim on turning the homework in, you can do something about that, right? You can tactically address that. So we parents love to get into strategies, and we love to get into tactics, and we want to make sure those tactics are useful. So let's start by just identifying for each of you what's the one thing that you'd like to focus on in the next couple of weeks. And again, reminding you, I want to remind you to bottom line it, but I don't want that to push anybody away or make you feel like you can't tell more or tell a story. I think we've dropped Tamara. Tamara, are you back?
I just got back. It dropped. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that. Okay. hate it when that happens. Okay, so we're going to start by taking aim, and we're not going to put you on the queue first. So somebody else. What do you want to tackle this week in the next couple of weeks? Megan, you want to kick us off?
Sure. Right now, a problem that we're having is that my son has made really good friends with a little girl in his class who also appears to have ADD or ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having some behavior problems at school. And he's never really... they're talking when they're not supposed to be. They're distracting each other from, you know, staying on task. And they're trying to do things to make the other person laugh on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening in their regular class, and it's happening in their specials. And it's kind of new territory for us. This is... He's never had, you know, any type of behavior problems. So,
So he and his friend are distracting each other in the class.
Yes.
And they're sort of doing it because they've sort of found each other.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Okay. Well.
So I want to work with the teacher.
Okay. So I want to remind you, working with the teacher is a strategy. The change you want to see is to address his tendency to distract himself and the others in the class.
Gotcha.
That's the behavior change. You may or may not work with a teacher, work with him, work with the other mom. You know, there are all sorts of different strategies you can use to approach it. But before we get to strategy, you want to take aim on the behavior you want to see changed.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Who else?
I can go.
Go
Tamara.
For it.
Okay. This is, again, something that I started when I, maybe last week or once I joined the program and heard your general call that you, when you did the big question and Q&A call. Anyway, specifically getting homework and missing assignments turned in is my thing I'm taking aim on.
Okay, so getting missing assignments turned in.
Correct. This is my son's first year in middle school. So multiple classes now.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be the third time I've had that conversation today, just so you know. not to make you feel bad, but to make you know that you are so not alone.
That makes me feel better, actually.
Yeah. Okay, so the taking aim is very specific, very targeted, taking aim on getting missing assignments turned in. Is there one particular class which is the worst offender or one where you know he can see some quick success?
Unfortunately, no. We'll see. I am trying to get information and see what works. There are different numbers of assignments missing in different classes, and I know they each have their own way that they collect or don't collect work, so I know that that's challenging. But I need to also manage my reaction to him. I know that perhaps is a whole other issue, but like when he came home yesterday and I asked him about it after going over preparing that these are the assignments, do you want me to leave a post-it for you and do you want this? And when he came home and I asked, did you turn it in? He said, oh no, she didn't ask for it at first.
Right.
My first response was, okay, you need to go to your room, which is not even something, I don't even send him to his room, but it's almost like I needed the time out. And I felt immediately like, this work, I had gotten excited. Anyway, sorry.
All right.
So,
no, sorry. And I thank you, because it was a perfect, I couldn't have done any better than what you just did, because what you just did is you said, okay, I want to change his behavior in terms of missing assignments. And then you said, well, really there are a lot of classes. So that's actually maybe five or six different places to take aim, right? It's not even one. Because it's going to be different in each class, right?
Okay,
so you may start with one class rather than all of them. And then you brought up managing your reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And And what I love about that is, we just had this conversation in a group yesterday. It's like, so where do you want to take aim? Because we tend to take aim on the behavior we want to see changed with a kid. And if we're choosing between that and ourselves, the tendency is often to prioritize the kid's behavior over ours. And it's fine to do that. I'm not suggesting you do it differently, but I do want to just raise everyone's awareness to that tendency that we have to choose. If we're going to, if it's like, okay, you got to make a choice between these two, we're always going to choose the kid, right? It's always going to be theirs.
Right.
And you guys got to, can y'all bear with me 1 second? I've just had a family crisis situation. I just got to go do something really quickly. Hold on.
Sure.
Have you ever noticed that they only text unless you really can't answer the phone, and that's when they call? I just love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so so I'm not suggesting, Tamara, that you choose anything differently, but I do want to say that if you address your reaction to it, lots of other stuff cascades from there. So just that reminder that we do tend to focus on them instead of us when sometimes it would benefit to focus on us. So
yes.
Let's talk about the assignments and commit to yourself, write it down in your notebook, that at some point you're going to take aim on how you react.
Yes. Yes. Well, I did catch it. Absolutely. And I did immediately.
No, I hear you did.
What am I doing? And I had to immediately, you know, redirect, change it. And that's why he came in. It was awesome that he picked it up himself. I didn't berate him or beat him on it, so. Okay. Which I've done. Okay. And I broke it down to two classes.
So if we've got, if you've got missing assignments in all these classes, is there one or two classes that you really know is the biggest issue?
Well, I just decided it would be easier to do small things. So I basically said, these two, let's look at these. Things were that were small assignments that were already done. I did. So I broke it down and said, how about, you know, today I want him to get two things in for two different classes. And then I decided over the course of the week, I broke it down and said this is too much. So he knows two classes, one page each class, already done, ready to go. So I'm hoping that in that increment. And then the next class, if it's more assignments, that's just one class that day.
Great. Brilliant. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Audrey, what do you want to take aim on?
I would like to have a better way to handle when my son is having trouble falling asleep and comes out of his room with that complaint.
Okay, great. I love that. Very specific. It's really not about him going to sleep. It's about you managing it when he doesn't, right?
Right.
Great. Okay. And Tess, what about you?
I'm wanting to know how I can, or I'm wanting to change how I support and guide my kids in regards to, I guess homework and effectively planning for, or I don't know, the time management of it. And I'm studying for tests and quizzes. Like I've seen that they tend to just wait till last minute and stay up too late at night and or first thing in the morning. And yet during the weekend, there's plenty of there's enough downtime when they could be doing it. But either I'm not motivated or they're not motivated or it's just not even in our mindset at the time.
Okay.
So better planning,
So let's get more specific, all right? Because what you're saying is I want them to manage time better. And that's sort of like saying I want mornings to get better, right? So narrow in what's one thing that you can focus on for starters.
Well, I just feel like if they're more, have better time management or their study habits or homework habits, that they'll do better in class. And
that's true, but we want to narrow that down. So is that about planning the time, like in terms of the work that needs to be done, planning when homework is going to be done? Is it
nighttime
or weekends?
Like trying to, Yeah, maybe, like, so I guess what I need to do is, like, I don't, they don't have a schedule. I don't have a schedule as to maybe mapping out, yeah, when they're going to, yeah, use the time to study or do homework. I think maybe we should have that routine going or that is.
So for you, it may be about identifying when is homework time.
Right.
On a daily basis, because, you know, with teenagers, it's going to change.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so a mechanism for identifying when it's homework time every day or on the weekend.
Okay.
Okay. So, and I want you to see how that went from supporting and guiding them with time management around homework to identifying when it's homework time tomorrow.
I see that. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Got it. Okay. Awesome. Okay, so what I love about today's topic is I don't really have to talk much about taking aim because we just demonstrated it several times, right? So taking aim is the first step of the model, and if you haven't reviewed or revisited the model, I encourage you to do that. If you've not watched the Parenting Action, the ADHD Parent Manual video, I would encourage you to watch that. Because that's sort of a 20-minute video that sort of walks you through the whole model. And we want to get you to start consciously using this model. And in this call today and in these calls, you know, we may get you, walk you, or one of you each step all the way through the model when possible, and sometimes we won't. But we're always going to start with step one, right, because that's really the critical piece. Just by honing in on where are you taking aim, you're smart people. You know, you'll figure out the rest. You'll begin to learn to apply and map the model onto it. But that taking aim place, for the first couple of months, you'll notice it's going to take a while for you to do it very specifically and on target. And some of you have already been doing this for a while, and so you've already gotten it, which is great. But we'll coach around that piece till we get it right, because it makes everything else easier. All right. So step one is to take aim, and it can be really hard to do, and it really sets the tone for everything. And I don't need to sort of beat the horse, because I think we've already sort of demonstrated it, but I do want to hear what's coming up for anybody in terms of questions you have or thoughts that you have around taking aim. What are you noticing? Is it hard? Is it easy? Is it helpful? Is it not?
Oh, I think it's definitely, this is Tamara. I think it's helpful because you're talking about breaking something down into an actionable step, and it changes the way I think about the issue and changes how I, like you said, if I need to approach my reaction, my emotional response, or what my son's response is, or what the end result is, all of that, it kind of helps me organize. It basically helps you organize how you approach it. So I do appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Diane likes to talk a lot in terms of problem solving, right? That instead of reacting, we want to be problem solving as parents. And taking aim gives us an ability to identify the, if you will, the problem to be, quote, solved, or the behavior to be changed. And the other thing I would say is, and we didn't do it so much today, but when possible, we also want to try to frame it in the positive, you know. And I heard, for example, Audrey was saying, you know, I want to handle how I respond when my son has trouble falling asleep. That's positive, right? I want to help him get his missing assignments turned in. That's a positive. Which is different from, he's got to stop doing that, or I need him to stop waking up at night, right? So when we take aim and frame it in the positive, it really begins to already put us on the path towards effective problem solving. Any other thoughts about it? Anything else coming up for anyone? Okay. So at this point, in the call, we have sort of two options. If there was a discussion, if there was a lot of thoughts about, wow, this is really hard, or I don't know how to do it, or what works for you, we could move forward into just staying in a conversation about it, if that seems to be useful for people. Or sometimes we'll do a little laser coaching. So today I say let's do a little laser coaching. So who would like to get a little coaching on your topic today? And just a reminder, this is where you get the true benefit, the full benefit of this program. So if you don't volunteer to get coaching, you're not going to get coached.
Sure, I'll be the guinea pig. I'm Audrey.
Who's that? Audrey. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Audrey. All right, so we're going to coach Audrey around how she handles it when her son has trouble falling asleep and comes out of his room, right? And what I want everybody else to be paying attention to is a few things. One is what you'll notice is you'll get a lot of benefit from just hearing someone else get coached. So there's a huge value in that. I want you to notice as if I'm either directly or indirectly sort of moving through the model. We'll start with taking aim, then we'll collect information. Just sort of begin to pay attention to how we're sort of moving the conversation. And don't hesitate to sort of take a little detour from the conversation we're having and think about how, if I'm asking her a question, how would it apply to your situation that you're dealing with? And it might not. I mean, obviously, it's not going to map exactly. But in what way can you use it to help you keep moving forward on your conversation, on your challenge that you're addressing? Because, I can't coach every single one through every single issue today, but what I hope is, and what we'll do by the end of the call, is we'll stop and we'll ask the final four questions, and you'll be able to see what movement you have made today. So even if taking aim or the strategy we talk about in a day may not be the solution to the challenge you're bringing up, hopefully the conversation and the coaching will help you move forward in the challenge that you are dealing with. Did that make sense to everybody? And I know you do sort of have experience it to really get it, but are there any questions about that? Process-wise? Okay, so Audrey, you're having trouble handling it when your son has trouble falling asleep and comes out of his room. And he's 8 years old. What time does he go to bed?
Bedtime's 8 o'clock.
Okay, so step one, we took aim. Step two is to collect information, to get educated. What do we know about what's happening here? What do you know?
I know that it is difficult for him some nights to fall asleep, and sometimes more than others. I mean, I feel like in general he kind of has, 3 to 5 bad days, and then he'll get tired enough that he'll have maybe, 2 or 3 good days, and then he's all caught up, and then he has 3 to 5 bad days. And
So sleep is a chronic problem for him.
Yes. And he takes, he takes Clonidine at nighttime and he takes melatonin. And I feel like we are a family who knows a fair amount about sleep hygiene and does a good job. You know, he goes to bed at the same time every night. There's no electronics for the last hour after, before bed. We start bedtime an hour early and it's,
wow.
You know, we put our pajamas on and like we're pretty
That's
good
pretty
about
good.
Following the sleep hygiene rules, right? And what's hard for me is that, like, we're doing everything right, and I'm giving you medication, and then we have the surprise and disappointment of you sometimes popping back out of your bedroom, at various times. And I think
could it be any time?
Here's the thing is that it's been happening more frequently lately, and it may or may not be related to the fact that we changed his stimulant dose at the beginning of the school year. It seems worse to me since then, but there's also a void of information, right? Because I tuck him in and I don't go in there because I learned that, when he was very little, don't go in his room, you'll wake him, right? And then he won't go back to sleep. So I don't really know what goes on in there as far as how long it takes him to go to sleep or whatever. I know that sometimes he comes back out. It could be 9 o'clock, it could be 9:30. Last night it was 10:40, and I was so frustrated because you know, I have had the conversation with him before. If you are having trouble falling asleep, come out by, you know, 9 o'clock. If you're not asleep by 9 o'clock, then come and I will help you. And he just forgot or whatever last night. But, you know, by 10:40, like, so much damage has been done in terms of, you know, the rest of, you know, the next couple of days. Now I have to pay the price for that is kind of my knee-jerk
okay.
reaction, you know.
Okay. No, this is great. All right. So here's what I'm hearing is you've got great sleep hygiene. And if everybody else doesn't know that term, it's you know, making sure he goes to bed at the same time. I mean, she's described it perfectly. Low lights, no technology, you know, all the things that the sleep people tell you. And FYI, I think it's over 85% of kids with ADD struggle with sleep issues. So it's a really, really high percentage of these kids. And it's not just because of stimulants. They struggle with sleep issues because their brains are flying 1,000 miles a minute. And they have a hard time putting on the brakes. When I was a kid, my mom had no idea we had ADD, and so they just gave us a Coca-Cola before we went to bed at night, and we had no problem sleeping. So, because it just sort of calmed the brain. So you're dealing with an established sort of coexisting challenge that comes with the ADD. And so you know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I hear happening is, and then the other thing is you sort of have I know it's going to be hard for him, and if you're not awake, if you're not asleep by 9 o'clock, come get me, let me know, let me try to help.
Yeah.
And so if that doesn't happen, so what do you know about what might be happening for him? I know you don't know what's going on in there, but what might be happening for him that might make it hard for him to remember to come out by 9?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, he obviously, you know, he struggles with time management. He has ADHD. But, you know, there's a clock right next to his bed, and he does tend to stare at it and obsess over it. So, you know, could that be going on?
Okay, so that's a different kind of information. So not only is he struggling with sleep, but then he gets upset and gets a little obsessed by it if he can't fall asleep.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
Okay. So there's a sort of an anxiety and a worry that's attached to this as well.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Okay.
I mean he's spent enough nights, you know, especially if he wakes up, sometimes he will wake up in the middle of the night and have difficulty falling back to sleep, and he's done that enough times in his life to build up anxiety about that.
Mhm. What's he worried about when it happens?
I think it's just so insanely boring to have to stay in your room and not be able to do anything. Then you get into, you know, couldn't he just read for a little while and go back to sleep? And the issue is that he hyper-focuses when he reads. And so number one, it's a huge temptation for him to just to read. Like he would keep himself from sleep in order to read. And
yep.
Number two, you know, it'd be difficult for him to keep track of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would just read all night long, I think. Until, you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And we used to joke with my son when he would walk out and we'd look at him and say, would you like to borrow my copy of the Book of Yarn? The History of Yarn. That was ours.
Right.
My husband, this is no joke, because my husband has ADD. When he was a kid, he figured out, he got the most boring book he could possibly get on, like, shipbuilding or something, and that's what he would read when he got to sleep.
Yeah.
So he's got some anxiety around it, and it's sometimes it's not falling asleep, and sometimes it's waking up after he's been asleep.
Yeah.
Right, so you don't have a good consistency going there, right?
Yeah.
Well,
and I don't have, right, not only is it inconsistent, but I think I don't have the closest eyes on the situation. You know what I mean?
Say a little more about that.
I don't have a really clear sense of how many nights a week does it take you, you know, are you having trouble falling asleep, because I don't go in there. You know, we used to have like a video camera, you know, monitor when he was little, but we don't have it in there anymore.
Right. Well, what difference would that make?
Knowing if he's asleep or not,
mm-hmm.
without having to go in there, I guess. What difference would it make?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it would help me understand how big of a problem it is,
okay.
and you know whether it's more. You know,
is there anything different you would do? Because you're doing everything they tell you. You've got him on medication. You're doing
yeah.
sleep hygiene. Is there anything different you would really do?
You know, I think if I saw that it was a problem for him a lot more than he's actually coming to me and complaining about it, then I might be more willing to set him up with something to be able to do on his own to get back to sleep or fall asleep. You know, I might be more permissive about reading, right? If we found the book of yarn and gave him a timer and or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think what I'm hearing is, as we're collecting information, is you're really not sure to what extent this is really a problem.
Yeah, there's a little, yeah.
From his experience. I know what your problem is, right?
Well, here's the other thing. I heard, I think there's sort of a, right, there's the level of how much of a problem is it in terms of him coming out and reporting it to me? But on the other hand, it's like he doesn't know what, you know, normal, quote-unquote normal is, right? He
right.
does not know that, you know, it takes most people 20 minutes to fall asleep, right?
Right.
So he may, right, so I guess there's this question of, does he have a bigger problem that I should do something more about, like send him for a sleep study or... you know, now that he's older, if it's a bigger problem, do I try to give him, you know, more tools that he could use on his own to try to fall asleep? And I've had conversations with him around, you know, hey, do you remember that relaxation script you used to listen to? We tried that, you know, a couple of years ago. And or what do you think about, you know, if you listened to some, you know, quiet music with no words, would that help? Or, you know, I've sort of like thrown out, you know, some ideas, and he does not appear to be motivated to solve the problem, which I find confusing. So
because he's anxious about it, but he doesn't seem motivated to change it.
Yeah.
Which is actually pretty typical. Like, remember, he's 8, right? So he's 8 going on 5.
Yeah.
Maybe 6. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty young to be self-regulating around sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So the only other place I want you to look before we move into planning is what else? Collect a little information about yourself. What's the impact for you around his sleep issue?
Yeah, there's no doubt it's his mood, because I, you know, he doesn't have a diagnosis either, but I think ODD is probably a fair description. And when he's tired, you know, obviously all of his ADD symptoms are worse, but he can be, you know, quite a monster to deal with when he is also sleep deprived. And it disrupts the entire family. And, you know, when he's tired, sometimes it's just, you know, even all the tools you have about, you know, here's your calming box and, you know, all these things you set up to help him deal with himself. Sometimes it's just like, you're tired, you're completely unreasonable. I've tried everything I can to solve this problem. You know, play with Legos in your room today. Like, I just, you know, you can't be around other people.
Mm-hmm. What if that's part of the way his ADD manifests at this stage of his life? I mean, because here's what I want to say is you haven't described anything that's atypical that everybody else in this group, in to some extent or another, wouldn't say, yeah, that's what it's like for us, right? I mean, part of the nature of dealing with the ADD is not only dealing with the rapid brain and the impulsivity and sometimes the hyperactivity and all of that, but is dealing with the sleep deprivation
right.
that comes with it. That's pretty normal in our world. So I get that it has an impact on the family in terms of it makes his mood irritable, it makes it difficult to be around. The question that is coming up for me is, what if that just is what it is? Like, is there really much more you're going to do to, quote, fix this than you've already done at this stage?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I waffle on this issue all the time is, you know, should I drag him somewhere and give him a sleep study? Do we need to, right, do we need to get him stuff that can help him, you know, focus on falling asleep better? Or is this just, this is what it is? And
yeah.
Maybe I just need to wait until he's ready to solve the problem. You know,
well, or help him find a motivation for solving the problem. Like
yeah.
right now the problem is right now what's happening is that you're motivated for him to solve it because the impact is on you. Not only is he irritable and grouchy, but you never know when your evening's going to get interrupted.
Right.
Right, and so that in and of itself is like, wait, where did you come from? I'm done with you right now.
Right, I just, I couldn't wait for this moment.
Right, and now you're awake again.
Waited all day for this moment.
my husband's favorite line, because my kids will come, they'll go stand at the top of the balcony, and my husband will look at them as, no, you cannot fall asleep if you're standing up. Absolutely just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But so let's look real quickly at the cornerstones, right? So we know that activating the brain, you've really done what you can do for that here. There's really not much more. Potentially you could do some meditation. There's some more strategies you could use with him on top of what you're already doing. And you're doing a lot, right, to activate or, in this case, to decompress the brain. It's definitely worth looking at. So what I would start by saying is if we're having this conversation here and it's happening more than once a week, then he's got an issue with trying to fall asleep. You wouldn't have him on the meds he's on if that was not an established problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So whether there's a sleep apnea on top of it, that's a conversation to have with a doctor. It is so common in this population that it would be unlikely, but it's certainly possible. You know, and if you try the other strategies, the meditation, some of that, and you're still not getting results, then it may be worth pursuing that. But so there's a little bit of space left for that activate the brain place. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So the next is parenting positively. And then the next two are parenting positively and setting realistic expectations. So in terms of setting realistic expectations, I want to jump ahead to that for a second because I think, again, we know that this is an issue. It's not surprising. You're doing a huge amount to address it already. So it's reasonable to expect that he's going to have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So the parenting positively piece. You can't underestimate the impact of what are you doing here? This is my space. Right? So the question that jumps out at me is, tell me a little bit about how it must feel for him to be struggling with this issue of falling asleep. I guess what I'm really saying is I want to connect you to your compassion for him because I know it's there. It's very clear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the baggage attached to this is probably that until about a year ago, I was a lifelong insomniac.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he doesn't sleep, I automatically have the stress of, oh, great, you know, what's going to be in this? Well, no, not so much that, but it's, you know, oh, you know, how's your day going to go at school tomorrow? Are we going to get calls from the principal's office? You know, are you going to be a bear to deal with for the next 3 days? You know, great. It triggers my own stress of what I remember of just, you know, the later it gets, the more stressed out you get, and the less able you are to fall asleep, you know.
Right, yeah. So that's what I that's a great recognition that what's happening is you're going into what in coaching world we would call level one. How's this going to impact me? What was it like for me when it happened to me? What do I think about it?
Right.
And what I want to invite you to do, and I'm moving a little bit into strategy, but the time is at the end, and I want to make sure that we sort of close this, make sure we close the call for everyone. What I want to invite you to do is to look at what we call level two listening, which is what's going on over there. And any time mm-hmm. you see or hear him after 8 p.m., to invite yourself, to ask yourself to go over there, wow, what's going on for him?
Yeah.
What's happening for him? How frustrating is this for him?
Yeah.
Great access there.
Yeah. I part of my frustration is that I have been trying to ask him, like, so what's up? Like, what are you having trouble with falling asleep? Like, are you too hot? Are you too cold? Are you, you know, is your mind racing? Are you worried about something? Like, trying to help him identify, you know, specifically what the problem, and I'm getting a lot of, like, I don't knows, because he's an 8-year-old boy.
Because he doesn't know. Right.
Right.
All he knows right now is that it's frustrating him that he can't fall asleep when it's expected of him to fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, so yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, right, I want to help him avoid that, developing the stressed out response to that, because when he appears, he doesn't, you know, he's not like crying and completely like a basket case about the fact that he can't fall asleep. He obviously doesn't like it, but he doesn't appear like, you know,
distraught. Yeah.
He doesn't appear incredibly distraught. So I'd like to help him with it in a way that it doesn't have to, you know, that he doesn't end up triggering that whole cycle of, oh, no,
right.
I'm not falling asleep. Oh, no, oh, no.
So here's what I want to offer. And, again, it's sort of in the interest of time, but I also think in the interest of effectiveness, is for you to pay, because you started off saying this is about how do you respond when he can't. And the tendency keeps going back to, well, let's help him. Does he need strategies? Is it reading? Is it sleep study, right? And this is really not about that. This is about how do I handle it when he walks out of his room.
Right.
Right. So what's the access point? What's the question that you can ask yourself when he walks out that will bring you to that place of compassion? Because you really do get it more than most
hard
people.
Part. Yeah, I mean right, that's the trick. I tend to be a slow processor in this department, but
anybody else on the call have a suggestion of something she might say to herself or ask herself?
Well, I just think, this is Tamara butting in, I definitely, my 11-year-old son has had sleep issues his whole life, and I didn't know there was that connection. And I will say that I think, again, you guys, you know, Elaine, you talk about self-care, and I think, I personally, it's so hard to know that I wasn't going to have that time at the end of the day. Like you said, I look forward to this. I work for this moment.
Right.
I think it's important to know that you're going to get that time at some point, and that can at least, like somehow, whether, I don't know what you know, what your situation is during the day and you have a younger child, but to know that you will still have your downtime, that you will create it, that you'll pay yourself back, I think, because so mentally draining, and I feel like knowing that you haven't lost your window for that night, your decompression time, because then it's gone and it's exhausting. So I think if, you know, those nights that as soon as you see your son come out and you're like, oh, okay, well, now I know what I'm doing for the next hour or more,
right.
You know, that you know that you can, that, okay, you're going to have time to pay yourself back at some point to relax.
So let me build on that for a minute. So there's part of it is the self-care. How am I going to take care of myself so that I can take care of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the gift I'm going to give myself to sort of compensate for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, Tamara. And then the other thing that comes up is a sense that what's important to me what kind of a parent do I want to be to this kid who's struggling, right? Because what I really want you to connect with is why you want to be there for him instead of why you don't.
Right.
Because I get why you don't. We all get why you don't. Right. But
yeah.
What is it about that connection and that the capacity you have to really empathize with him and help him that is going to be that's at the foundation of why you're parenting this kid in the first place?
Right. Yeah.
What's the
core value
you're honoring by being present to him?
Yeah. Because I don't want him to, spend, 40 years of his life being an insomniac and having that stress. I mean, because he can learn that from me when he comes out, and it can be like, oh, it's not a big deal. Let's just, here are some things we can try to help you get back to sleep. And that way he learns strategies, and he doesn't ever have to learn that horrible cycle that
I lived
for so long,
So what you're saying is that you want for him to be to sort of be matter of fact about this.
Yeah.
Right. And you can offer that to him by how you respond.
Yep.
Yeah. So I need to watch our time, and so we're going to close it today. And this is a big topic, right? Obviously, it's not the only time it's going to come up. I assure you. So I want to ask everybody the final four questions, and each of you answers them for yourself in terms of whatever topic you're looking at. But the four questions are, what did I focus on in this call today? What really had my attention? Because I know what we were talking about, but what were you focusing or thinking about? And the second question is, what's my aha? What's my clarity from today? So take a minute with those two, and if you're using the workbook, either print it out or online, you can answer them directly online on the computer, or some of you, I'm sure, have printed it out. But I really encourage you to use the journal each week. It's powerful if you can actually capture these ahas. So what were you focusing on, and what's your takeaway from today? And then the third question is, what action do I want to commit to? And the fourth is, what do I want to do to set myself up for success? How do I need to help make it possible to make sure I do what I've committed to do? And just let's popcorn for a minute your aha, your takeaway from today. And by popcorn, I mean just, throw it out quick, one word, couple of words. What's your takeaway?
Tamara here. My takeaway for myself, for my issue, is that I need to separate my address my reaction to my son or my frustration at a separate time, and that's something that I need to take
Great.
Aim on.
Great. Okay, anybody else? Clarity from today.
Hi, this is Tess. Just briefly, I guess my big takeaway is that I need to look at the facts, at what's realistic or what's really happening versus allowing my emotions to get in the way or to control the situation.
Brilliant. Megan, what about you? Can't tell if she's
sorry.
That's okay. I did something to you on mute.
I'm here. I'm on mute. I'm trying to make dinner. I have a babysitter coming in 5 minutes. I was so wrapped up in the sleep conversation that I haven't gotten too much thought on my own taking aim.
It's okay.
But
whatever your clarity is from today is what it is. It's fine.
I would say my clarity is the point that someone brought up, that how important that alone time is at the end of the night, and that you have to remind yourself that you can get that at another time.
Yeah, great. And Audrey, what about for you?
It's funny. I mean, it's the painful lesson. I just have to keep learning that I have to get my own reaction calm before I can do anything else. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I need to remind myself of how I want to behave when he comes out and what it is I'm trying to teach him in that moment, and not, you know, and not let anxiety and you know, and resentment rule my life.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. So I'll just throw this out. I had some coaching around a similar issue years ago when my kids were younger, and there was the, "Mommy, will you come bring me a glass of water?" You know, that sort of mm-hmm. late night stalling, and it was driving me crazy because I was trying to finally get my alone time. And I got some coaching around it, and the word I came up with, and it just worked for me, was, I don't want to miss these years of my kids being young. I really want to relish it, because they're not going to be calling me to come bring them a glass of water much longer, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I would hear them, "Mommy," I would say to myself, "Relish." And it was just that one word that could sort of recenter me to what I wanted for myself as a mom and for them. So that's what I would encourage you to, is to find one word or one phrase. We call it a structure in coaching. But a word or a phrase or something you can do that can bring you quickly back to that space of wanting for him. And wanting for the kind of mom you want to be. So I don't know what that is, and if you feel like sharing it when you figure it out on the forum or with the group, let us know. But that's my encouragement for you, is to come up with something that you can say to yourself that brings you there really quickly. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Great. Okie doke, everyone. I know we went a little over time, but we'll get better at it, I promise. Thank you so much for your commitment, for your engagement, for supporting each other. We are meeting next week. Usually there's a week between calls, but because we started a little later in October this month, there'll be two calls in a row this week and next week. So we will talk to you all next week. And remember to use the forum, and we'll talk to you then.
Thank you, Lane. Thank you, ladies.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.